Hello, this is Gary Cleveland of the Helicopter Online Ground School. Thank you for joining in to the podcast. What you're about to hear is a live Training Tuesday event where we discuss Dynamic Rollover. The creator of Helicopter Online Ground School, Kenny Keller, would like to invite you to his website, www.helicopterground.com, where we feature four FAA-certified courses: private pilot, commercial pilot, certified flight instructor, and instrument pilot. Enjoy your podcast.
We've been asked by the FAA to let them review our site, and they may be using us as remedial training for some people that have been through accidents because they recently had a dynamic rollover accident. And when they tested the guy's knowledge, either he didn't remember or he didn't have the proper knowledge in the first place. His knowledge was not where it should have been about dynamic rollover. So pretty obvious he got into it, not understanding the ways to keep out of it and what to do if he got into it. And then we had a member that just got into a dynamic rollover. That's the picture here. He's agreed to let us use the photo and tell a little bit about his story. We have a little runway built here today that we're going to use for demonstrating during the presentations. We're going to talk about dynamic rollover, talk about how to avoid it, talk about what to do if you start to get into it. As I mentioned, we started rolling. We just had a member get into dynamic rollover in the past week, and it's unfortunate, but he walked away, and it's a learning tool. He agreed to let us use the pictures and tell a little bit about his story. We're going to not mention names or flight schools because it doesn't matter, number one, and number two, I'm sure there's some type of investigation going on, so we're not going to say anything or do anything that could hinder any of that. But sounds like a simple dynamic rollover. Hate to say the word simple, but a dynamic rollover incident. And he was talked to Gary yesterday on the phone, and he said, hey, they were actually pretty cool about it. Everybody he talked to, including the owner, said, hey, it happens, which we know this. Helicopters get rolled over even by experienced pilots. So this is something that you really have to understand. You have to try to avoid it and not get into it in the first place. And then you have to know what to do in the event you get a dynamic rollover. Dynamic rollover, the same day as he got notification of this event. So he had this event, was getting ready to solo, got into dynamic rollover. And when he went home, he got an email that we were doing this training this week. So maybe it would have been more fresh in his mind. Maybe we could have helped him, not go through that. So here's the aircraft that he was soloing in that day. So hopefully we got your attention right off the bat with that. Dynamic rollover is a big deal. It happens to new pilots. It happens to experienced pilots. I know that when I first started years ago when I was training for the private, I've told the story a lot about how I'm training with the younger guy, then the older guy comes in and kind of kicks your butt a little bit. And the good news is I never forgot anything that he trained me when I was new. Prior to solo, getting ready to solo, and I fly with the older guy, and he's like, you have to pick this helicopter up in a two-step process. Experienced pilots roll these helicopters over from not doing a good two-step process. So not only does it happen to newbies, it happens to experienced pilots as well. So as far as this example goes, we're not gonna mention the flight school. We're not gonna mention the member's name because it doesn't matter. He agreed to let us use the photos. Gary talked to him this morning and he said, go ahead and use them. And I'm gonna move the camera over to Gary and let you hear firsthand from Gary what their conversation was they had just this morning about dynamic rollover.
Yeah, Ken, I talked to our member who unfortunately was involved in the dynamic rollover incident. Ironically, coming home from this incident, he sees notice that we're going to do this live event today. I asked him what happened and asked if we could share that with our other members. He said absolutely. Keeping his name out of it, he basically has been training in an R-22. He's had a lot of experience with slope landings, pickups, and setdowns with his CFI on board. This would have been his first solo flight. So his CFI was off in the distance a little ways with a portable radio. And he went to pick up the aircraft on a grassy surface, and all he remembers is the aircraft, suddenly the canopy's cracking and things are going south fast. It happened that fast. He didn't have time to recognize that it's coming on. He just recognized that it was way different with him in there by himself instead of having the weight of the CFI next to him in the R-22.
All right, so again, it's no disrespect to the instructor or the flight school or the member. We thought it was something that should be shared, and Gary talked to him and he said, yeah, you know what? I want to talk about it, and I encourage it, because I talked a lot about my helicopter accident when I got involved in the helicopter ground resonance all those years ago. And of course, everybody, all the attorneys and the factory and everybody's like, don't talk to anybody, don't repeat the story. Well, what are you supposed to do after a traumatic event? You're supposed to go home and just keep your mouth shut and not talk to anybody. I think that's absolutely wrong. I ignored the advice of the attorneys. I ignored the advice of the helicopter corporation that owned the aircraft, or who manufactured the aircraft. And all I did was talk about it. I was home, I was hurt, I couldn't fly, I couldn't even pick up my daughter, I couldn't even pick up a gallon of milk because of my back injury. I had to go home and recuperate. So I'm not gonna sit at home and not repeat the story, not tell anybody about it. They were like, you can't even talk to your friends and your family. So anyway, I'm glad this member came forward. I'm glad he shared that with us, because it's a learning, you know, it's a learning tool. Helicopter pilots in general, the thing that I've noticed in 20 years is not too many of them talk about their mishaps, and I don't know why that is. I openly talk about the ground resonance accident that I was in. This member wanted to share his unfortunate incident. He walked away, he was okay, but here's an example. Training day and going for solo, and he rolls it over. And I know I overheard a little bit of the conversation, and he basically said, you know, that even the kind of the FAA and the instructors he talked to said, hey, you know, things happen. And things do happen. In the end, you want to walk away. So it's fresh on everybody's minds here with a member that just happened to, you know, unfortunately it happened, but he walked away, and at least he's talking about it, and he's going to continue to train. He told Gary he's going to continue to train. And I believe Gary even said earlier that even the owner of the helicopter or the flight school said, hey, things happen. Isn't that what he said?
The owner of the helicopter said, don't sweat it. You walked away safe. It's just a training incident. So. Right. There he had the encouragement to continue with his training, and hopefully not only him but a lot of people can have the realization that dynamic rollover is not just something you have to know to pass your check ride, but it's the real deal.
Exactly. Perfect advice. You're right, it's not just for the check ride. This is so that on your solo, for your ratings, for your check rides, and then throughout your career, to make sure that you stay out of trouble and not destroy an aircraft. So again, we thank that member for sharing the story. Again, it happened. So we're going to go through a presentation. It's brand new. We just built it. And the information did come from Chapter 11 of the Helicopter Flying Handbook. So, you know, and this chapter is Helicopter Emergencies and Hazards. So I just want to point that out. That is the reference for this presentation. So first, let's talk about what is it. A helicopter is susceptible to a lateral rolling tendency called dynamic rollover when the helicopter is in contact with the surface during takeoffs or landings. When I trained, it happened. So we'll go back to me on my camera again. When I was new to this, I had my private. I'm working on my commercial, and one day I was going to go for one of my lessons, and they called me and said, hey, don't come in today because the helicopter's wrecked. And I'm like, really? What happened? And the instructor that I was training with to help me with my commercial was out with somebody that worked in the office that was working on their private. So they were didn't have the private yet, but I'm not sure if they'd been soloing yet or not, but they were out practicing some hover autos. And when they did their hover auto, let's go to camera three, Gary. We'll give them a little bird's eye view of our runway and everything we have set up for you today. So what they did, they were out in the field practicing hover autos. And when they entered it, they went this direction and came back, caught the rear skid, flopped it over, destroyed the aircraft. So going to that, back to that flight school firsthand, here's one of my instructors who, he was a great instructor. Student was a good student. It just got away from him during a training event. So point being, it does happen. And I have purposely, ever since that incident, I've always made sure that I use a little bit of right cyclic and a little bit of right forward cyclic, because that helicopter has a tendency to do that when you roll off the throttles. Some helicopters anyway want to go to the left and they want to go backwards, so it's easy to catch that skid and roll over. So I purposely always use a little forward and to the right. So I just wanted to relay that it happened at a flight school where I was flying. instructor I was flying with, wasn't that they were sloppy and that they weren't doing a good job. They just, you know, got away from them. So I wanted to share that. So next, I want to share, this is kind of cool. We just recently got a call from an FAA inspector. And when he first called, I was hesitant to call him back. He left me a message. And I handed it over to Gary. Said, hey, here, call the FAA. Because I've always had good experience with the FAA. But this was one time that, you know, when you first get a call from the FAA, you kind of wonder, what did I do wrong? Or, you know, they have a problem with something I did. So anyway, Gary called up this inspector to see what he needed, and they told Gary that they had just had, they were investigating an accident where a pilot, rated pilot, got into dynamic rollover. And when they went out to question this pilot, he didn't remember the basic elements of dynamic rollover. So they indicated to Gary that our training, Helicopter Online Ground School, may be something that is gonna be implemented to use remedial training. I'm gonna have you go over, we'll go over to Gary's camera and let Gary explain to you what they were talking about, since he talked to him direct.
Yeah, Kenny, I called the guy back, and not knowing what to expect, calling the FAA helicopter inspector, it turned out to be one of those goosebump experiences, because he was actually asking permission to review our site to assign our training, our online video training, as remedial for accidents. And then he shared with me that he had just covered an accident where I believe it was a Bell 47 had rolled off of a trailer, and the pilot was not well versed on dynamic rollover as he was investigating the incident. And so we gave him full access to the site to review all of our training, and he'll be hopefully implementing it as remedial training for pilots that are involved in an accident and need further training.
Awesome. So that's exciting. That's why I turned it over to Gary, let him explain to you. Hopefully that takes place. And so in turn with the recent we'd already chose dynamic rollover for this week. So between the FAA calling and giving that an example, and then it happening to a member, the timing just seemed right to do this presentation. Our dynamic rollover presentation we've had was quite older, back from the original training 5 years ago. And there's a couple things that had been changed since. So this is brand new, fresh from the helicopter flying handbook as stated. So we're going to go through the details, the meat of what the helicopter flying handbook tells us, and we're going to do some examples here with our little miniature runway. So we'll cover a little bit more of what they're telling us in the helicopter flying handbook. So for dynamic rollover to occur, some factor must first cause the helicopter to roll or pivot around a skid or a landing gear wheel until its critical rollover angle is reached, 5 to 8 degrees depending on helicopter winds and loading. Then beyond this point, main rotor thrust continues the roll and recovery is impossible. So let's go back to me for a minute, Gary, because I want to point out, it says right here, impossible, okay? When you have the situations combined together, where you get into it and you go past that rollover point, that critical angle, once it's going over, it's impossible to recover from. So we're gonna go through the typical ways that it happens, positions people put themselves into that it happens. So I wanna point out, impossible. There's a point where it's impossible to recover, okay? So if the critical rollover angle is exceeded, the helicopter rolls on its side regardless of the cyclic corrections made. Dynamic rollover begins when the helicopter starts to pivot laterally around its skid or wheel. This can occur for a variety of reasons, including the failure to remove a tie down or skid securing device, or if the skid or wheel contacts a fixed object while hovering sideward, or if the gear is stuck in ice, soft asphalt, or mud. Those are just some scenarios, so you can think about a lot of them. And we're going to go now to our runway scenario here. So if Gary, you want to turn us over to our runway camera. You know, these are representing our runway lights here on the side, these little red marks Gary just made this morning. So anytime you're around an airport environment, whether you're hovering down the runway, or let's say this is a taxiway, or you're moving along the edge of a ramp, taxiway lights are a big one. You always want to be thinking about that, because if you're hovering around and you catch that taxiway light very quickly that could turn into a dynamic rollover situation. So everything that we just listed, taxiway lights, think about a uneven concrete. Let's say the concrete pad has a hump and the concrete's just raised a quarter or half of an inch and you slid sideways and caught that concrete, that could be dynamic rollover. So any uneven surface, any obstruction, anything that you could come along with a sideways movement and catch that skid, you got to get that collective down and take that lift away. If it gets too far, you're going to roll over. And we're going to stay on this shot here and we're going to remove one of our taxiway lights. Let's see which way we want to go. We'll use this one here. Let's say when we're practicing slopes, one thing that we always do is we very often do them along the edge of the runway, because our runway here at C65 works out perfect just about anywhere to practice a slope. And I want to point out, we never do them more than 5 degrees. So we'll do them equidistant between two lights so that we know that we're not going to get into trouble. So we usually start over here. We come in at 45 in parallel. We go about halfway between those taxiway lights to perform our slope landing, and then we move away parallel in 45. So that way, if you know where they're at, you start about beside a taxiway light. We know if we go about halfway, if we keep our eyes out and keep an eyeball on this taxiway light up here, we know we're about halfway between, we know we're never going to have a problem. And again, I want to emphasize, when we're training, we never do a slope more than 5 degrees. So I'm going to pull up a slope landing here for you, and this will come up again in the presentation coming from the helicopter flying handbook, but I just want to demonstrate here a little before we get to it, and we can always come back to this. So there's going to be several things that we're going to point out during this presentation. And in this presentation, the helicopter flying handbook, they're using a PIC helicopter with PIC in the right, and we're going to point out several things, like if you were if your center of gravity is to the right, if you have a wind coming this direction hitting the fuselage of the aircraft, we're going to point out translating tendency. And there's one more, there's four of them. I'm trying to think of the other one. You remember the other one, Gary?
Left pedal.
Go ahead and put your questions in now, and we'll get to those in just a little bit. After we get through the majority of this presentation, we'll check comments. So we're going to continue to work with that. Hopefully you like our runway. So I'll put that down here for now, and we'll get back to the presentation. So lots of different ways you could get stuck. Mud, soft asphalt, really hot day. Think about that. You go somewhere and you land. One skid sinks in, one skid doesn't. You go to pick up, and the helicopter flops over on its side. So you got to think about all these different scenarios of how it could happen. Dynamic rollover may also occur if you use an improper landing or takeoff technique or while performing slope operations. Whatever the cause, if the gear or skid becomes a pivot point, dynamic rollover is possible if not using the proper corrective technique. Once started, dynamic rollover cannot be stopped by application of opposite cyclic control alone. Quickly reducing collective pitch is the most effective way to stop dynamic rollover from developing. Dynamic rollover can occur with any type of landing gear and all types of rotor systems. Okay, so we'll go back to camera one. I just want to reiterate that, I just had a thought there and now I've lost it. Let me go back through my presentation here real quick. What was I thinking? Oh, I know what I was gonna say. One time, and this was kind of a joke from the examiner, but during a check ride, he just threw in, he said, well, hey, there's a new way to get into, there's a new way to recover from dynamic rollover. It's a three-step process. Ever heard of it? And of course the student's like, no, because I had said, hey, there's only one thing you can do. It's down collective. And the examiner said, down collective, down collective, down collective. And then we laughed and joked because he was making the point. There really isn't anything else you can do. And people will say, oh, but if it's starting to go, I can put the cyclic back and I can try to, no. If you're on the verge of dynamic rollover, collective down to take away that lift and get it back down. You could move the cyclic, but the cyclic's not what's going to stop it. You need to go down collective to stop that rollover before you get past that critical point. All right, so there's several conditions, critical conditions, certain conditions. Whoops, let me go back. Getting off on my thing here. Critical conditions, certain conditions reduce the critical rollover angle, thus increasing the possibility for dynamic rollover and reducing the chance for recovery. The rate of rolling motion is also a consideration because As the roll rate increases, there is a reduction of the critical rollover angle at which recovery is still possible. Other critical conditions include operating at high gross weights with thrust approximately equal to the weight. Refer to figure 11.7. The following conditions are most critical for helicopters with counterclockwise rotor rotation. So we're going to go to those now. We mentioned those just a little bit ago. So this is figure 11.7 in the rotorcraft flying helicopter flying handbook. Number one, right skid or landing or wheel down, since translating tendency adds to the rollover force. So you can see in this diagram, the right hand skid is down. So you got to think about that translating tendency pushing against that tail boom, because we know thrust goes against the tail boom, not away from the tail boom, but against the tail boom. Number two, right lateral center of gravity, CG. What I think about in this diagram is, on my private commercial, I had the same examiner, and both times on slopes, he said, okay, I'm your passenger and I want out. What are you going to tell me to do? Okay, you got to make sure they're going to go around the nose and they're going to head down down slope. You never want them to go up slope. But we also talked about how that's going to change the CG if your passenger had to get out for some reason. So think about, you're going to add the fact that you were used to the weight being more equal. All of a sudden your passenger gets out, now you're heavier on the right side. So, you know, your CG could change. Crosswinds from the left. So think about your transverse flow effect we mentioned, or translating tendency, I'm sorry. You got translating tendency pushing against the tail boom. You got that right skid low. Now you got a crosswind on the side of the aircraft. So you're pushing against the side of the aircraft again. So you see how this is building and how this is like the one of the worst case scenarios. And then left yaw inputs, because you're putting a left yaw input, then you're also going to be putting more stress on the tail boom on the side. You need to be aware of cyclic trim. When maneuvering with one skid or wheel on the ground, care must be taken to keep the helicopter cyclic control carefully adjusted. So what we want to mention there is, if, like, say in the Instrum, you know, we've occasionally, from time to time, have had maybe a control stick on the cyclic, on the trim hat. So whether you're in a Schweitzer, an Instrum, or whatever, be aware that if you had a lot of trim in there, that could cause you problems on a slope. If it was too much and you were trying to force it back the other way, and maybe you had a trim failure and you were close to the ground. So I would just keep in mind that, be very careful with trim when you're close to the ground, doing a slope landing, anything along that lines. So we'll go back over to, we'll go back over there. Normal takeoffs and landings. Dynamic rollover is possible even during normal takeoffs and landings on relatively level ground. If one wheel or skid is on the ground and thrust is approximately equal to the weight of the helicopter, you could get into dynamic rollover. And I want to mention in this one, there's a video I recently saw on Facebook, and most of you have probably seen it. I think it's like a Bell 407 or something, and the guy comes up in a big hurry and he takes off and he's doing something like this, and he just catches that ground and it rolls him right on over, because it was, as far as I'm concerned, it was sloppy. The way he would have picked up, done a nice turn, and took off like he was supposed to, he'd have been fine. But he did one of those fancy, just put passengers on, pick up and go. He starts going like this, catches, rolls it on over to the side. And I also want to mention the rotorway video. There's a rotorway video on YouTube. Probably most of you have seen it. If not, I encourage you to go see it, because I remember when I first started training, this was popular and we were all watching it. I have it in our old presentation. I put it in there inside the site, and I thought, versus, you know, putting that in here, you can easily find that video on YouTube. Rotorway rollover, a rollover rotorway. It's about a 26-second video, and it's one of the best. Hate to say best, you never want anything bad to happen to anybody, but it shows you visually somebody in a rotorway who gets close to the ground and he's indecisive, and he gets down there and you see that pivot point where he gets it and it's right on the verge where he could have saved it, and instead of going down collective, it goes on over. So if you want to see a video of how it happens in a small training aircraft, I would highly suggest that rollover rotorway video. Just Google it. It comes right up page one. We just tried it before going live with this presentation. Gary and I both checked from different devices, and it came up number one in Google. So rollover rotorway, or vice versa. Okay, so We'll get back to, we've already covered slope takeoffs and landings, but we're going to hit it one more time. During slope operations, excessive application of cyclic control into the slope, together with excessive collective pitch control, can result in the downslope skid or landing wheel rising sufficiently to exceed lateral cyclic control limits, and an upslope rolling motion can occur. Let's go to that for a minute. We didn't actually cover that. We covered the other scenario. So basically what they're saying there, if you think about it, what they just said, we're always worried about dynamic rollover this way. You could actually have a dynamic rollover going upslope without using the proper technique, and you had too much cyclic in there, boom, you could go over this way. Especially if you had some sideways movement and you hit and you had too much cyclic in there, and boom. So not only can you roll over downslope, you can also get a situation where you can roll upslope. So this is why we always use the two-step process. Whether you're on nice level flat ground, two-step process to lift the aircraft. Get it light in the skids, pause, neutralize, and when you're ready, you gently lift up. Same thing with a slope. You're gonna bring that skid up nice and slow and get it level, pause just for a second, and then bring it up nice like that. So as you're coming up with that skid, you're bringing that cyclic to center, you're getting the aircraft basically parallel with the rotor system, and then you're gonna come straight up. So not only can you go roll down slope, you can also roll up slope. So keep that in mind. And we will get back over here. Use of collective. The collective is more effective in controlling the rolling motion than lateral cyclic because it reduces the main rotor thrust. Before we, let's see, anything you want to add to that, Gary, while we're rolling? We're going to go to some precautions next before we finish up and start taking questions from everybody that's here live. Anything you want to add real quick?
The only thing, Kenny, I could point out is some people get confused about when you're doing your pickup on the slope, the leveling of the rotor system with the horizon. Maybe you could help people to understand what they're talking about in the helicopter flying handbook about that.
Yeah, I know what you're saying there. What I said maybe didn't quite make sense. I was trying to spit out the words. Basically, before you go to lift back up on the slope, you're going to make the tip path plane parallel with the horizon. And then as you start bringing the skid up, you're also going to get the fuselage basically horizontal, where it matches the rotor system before you come up. Does that make more sense? Is that explaining it better, or is that still confusing?
So what you're saying is the cyclic will become neutral as you lift the skid.
Right, you're gonna be neutral on the ground. You're gonna go left cyclic to level the tip path plane. Then as you're bringing that skid up, you're going to level the aircraft. So then you'll be level and you'll be back to neutral on the cyclic. As you're coming up, you're moving the cyclic back to neutral as the fuselage is coming up like this.
Yes.
And then straight up.
That helps me to understand when you say it that way.
All right, so if I confuse anybody else out there, put your comments in there, and Courtney will have them ready for us here in just a minute, because we're just about to the end, and then we'll start taking questions. So we want to go through precautions, okay? There's 12 of these, and they come right, straight, smack dab out of the helicopter flying handbook. So if they took the time to put them in there, they're telling you this is how you can help yourself avoid these. Number one, always practice hovering on rotations into the wind, and be wary when the wind is gusty or greater than 10 knots. Great advice. I never do them when they're real windy. I mean, a little bit of wind is good, but too much wind could be a problem. Use extreme caution when hovering close to fences, sprinklers, bushes, runway, taxi lights. We went through that a little bit ago. There's a number of things, mud, frozen ground, the list goes on and on, humped up in the concrete. Anything that's protruding up, anything that's an obstacle of any kind, even if it's a half of an inch, could be enough to catch that skid. Number three, always use the two-step liftoff. I told you the story about I got spanked as a student pilot, and I don't even mind saying his name, Adrian. One of the cool things about Adrian was he taught me so many things that I'm still using to this day that have really helped me with my career. So as much as I was intimidated to fly with Adrian, I never forgot anything that he taught me, and he taught me some really good stuff. Number four, hover high enough to have adequate skid or landing wheel clearance. So we all know they say 3 to 5 feet for a good hover. Maybe you need a little more than 3 to 5 feet if you've got some obstacles on the ground. So this is kind of a, use a little bit of common sense. If the ground's uneven, you have a lot of obstacles, you might need to higher than you normally would. Number five, remember that when the wind is coming up from the upslope direction, less lateral cyclic control is available. Number six, avoid tailwind conditions when conducting slope operations. I can tell you, we never do slopes downwind. If I've ever done it downwind, it's because I did it by accident and I misjudged the wind. I never trained with doing slopes downwind or with a tailwind. I don't do anything with a tailwind other than sometimes practice a pickup and sit down with the wind behind you, because there's once in a while there's a good reason to do that. But most of the time you don't want to do that. Let me go back. Let's go to camera one just so I can elaborate what I was talking about. Where to hide the helicopter? Let's go to camera, what is that, camera three. Actually, let's say this is your ramp area, and let's say the wind is coming this way, okay? But there's a group of people over here too. So am I telling the story right? What I'm getting at is, okay, let's say wind is this way. There's a group of people here. You go to sit down, I would sit down in that instance with the tailwind. I don't want a group of people over here watching me come up with a tailwind and then turn just so that I can land back into the wind. Then I can't see any of these people approaching that tail rotor. I don't know what's going on. So this is the one time that I would sit down with the wind behind me, is if I had a group of people and I wanted to be very careful, I didn't want anybody approaching the aircraft. That's the only time I could think that I really do anything downwind, other than maybe a hover taxi. We do practice hovering square patterns on a ramp where we teach people how to control the helicopter. This is a great way to hone your skills going around a square pattern. In each corner, we pick up and do a set down. When you're doing that, okay, we're doing a little bit of tailwind because we're teaching them how to do it with tailwind, crosswind, off the nose. That's the other time that I might sit down with the wind behind me. Other than that, that's the only time that I can think of that I do anything with a tailwind. You want to add to that, Gary?
Kenny, just when you're talking about set down, pick up, people from all different experience levels, my question would be, if I was inexperienced, it would be the difference between an approach and a set down. You would never do an approach with a tailwind just because there's people out in front of you.
Yes. Go ahead and go back to me, because I'll elaborate on this. Because I've even had I've had gurus argue with me on this. I did a video once, and I was talking about the Robinson safety notice, never to do takeoff and landings downwind. And so I do this presentation, I make a video following the safety notice, and I put it online on LinkedIn or something, and I had a couple big time gurus got on there and argued with me. Oh, we teach those in the Navy, and I used to land from 16 to 18 knots on Navy carriers and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's fine in the Navy. If that's what you have to do to properly land on an aircraft carrier, okay, that's fine. We're talking about the training environment. So what we train is, anytime you're doing a landing, an approach, what Gary was asking about, we're not talking about where there's a group of people. We're talking about doing a landing. Wherever you're going from, say, 500 feet to land, whether it's to a runway, to a parking lot, we always land with the wind off our nose, or we land with a crosswind. We never land with a tailwind, because you can get into this thing called selling of power. It's not good practice. And even in 5 years of EMS flying, and of all the crazy calls we got, daytime, middle of the night, landing in every place you can think of, I could always find a way to approach that landing area, either with the wind off my nose or quartering or from the side. I was never forced to land with a tailwind. So some people will argue and say, oh, but that's in our training syllabus and we train downwind landings. That's great. If that's what anyone's school does, that's their prerogative to teach what they want to teach. I don't teach them. I don't do them. Only time I'd ever do a landing downwind from altitude is if I made a mistake and misjudged the wind. Does that cover what you want me to cover?
Absolutely.
To make that clear? Cool. All right, let's finish up these. So avoid tailwind conditions when conducting slope operations. Absolutely. Number seven, remember that less lateral cyclic control is available due to the translating tendency. Number eight, keep in mind that the lateral cyclic requirement changes when passengers or cargo are loaded or unloaded. Nine, be aware that if the helicopter utilizes interconnecting fuel lines, and we'll go back to my camera for that one. In this example, we'll use the Instrum. We have interconnected tanks. So you put fuel in both tanks and the fuel will level itself out, but let's say you went and parked on a slope and you shut down and left it sit there for a certain amount of time, that fuel is gonna run from one side to the other and your center of gravity is gonna shift to the lower side, to the downslope side. So if you're flying a helicopter, as example, Instrum, with interconnected fuel tanks, remember when you park, if you parked on a slope and shut down, that's gonna move the center of gravity. All right, got three more, I think. Number 10, do not allow the cyclic limits to be reached. May cause mass bumping. Most all of you at this point should know that mass bumping is bad. If you're new to this, mass bumping is when the rotor mast, the rotor head comes in contact with the mast, okay? So during flight, if that happens, you can snap off the rotor head. Happens in two blade systems. So mass bumping is something that you want to avoid at all cost, regardless of in flight or during the situation where if you use too much cyclic, you could have the rotor head come in contact with the mast. Even if it didn't snap off in that condition, you would seriously damage your rotor system and could cause hundreds of thousands of dollars or weaken something that might break off later in flight. So mass bumping, not good. You want to completely avoid that. So that's what mass bumping is if you're new to the whole helicopter thing and you're just getting started. All right, let's do two more. During a takeoff from a slope, begin by leveling the main rotor disc with the horizon, which is what we talked about just a little bit ago, what I was trying to spit out and I was having trouble saying. This is what I was trying to say. During a takeoff from a slope, begin by leveling the main rotor disc with the horizon. Number 12, be aware that dynamic rollover can be experienced during flight operations on a floating platform. Okay, that would make complete sense. We just scared and I were talking about that earlier. Let's say your floating platform is a boat. You're gonna have to be, you know, thinking about how that situation is when you get to your platform. And I've never flown on a boat, so I can't give you any information on what it's like landing on a helipad on a boat. But you could imagine if that was the case, or whether you're on, you know, a platform on a lake, whatever the case is, you can see the problem here. If something was floating or moving, how you could go from level to downslope to upslope. So using precautions during that time would be big. We're now using 5 to 8 degrees because that is what the helicopter flying handbook tells us. And that's a more conservative figure. So again, we don't teach when we're practicing slopes, we don't go any more than 5 degrees. And I've done that across the board since I was first trained. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody that's joined. If you're a Helicopter Ground School member and you're not in the new Facebook private group, we encourage you to go add yourself and we'll approve you as soon as we can check, but make sure you give us your name as it is in the Ground School site. And if it's different from Facebook, we need to know what your name is on Facebook. If you haven't signed up for our email yet, make sure you do that on one of our blog posts. Come back next Tuesday. What are we gonna do Tuesday next week? I don't think we've decided on Tuesday of next week what we're gonna do. Guess we'll just make it a surprise. Or do you have something in mind, Gary?
Well, the thing I had in mind was we get a lot of questions about the new basic med.
Yep.
That's out. So possibly a lot of pilots or members could benefit from a video just kind of laying out the basics of basic med.
That's a good one. And maybe we'll try to combine in. We have one section, the private section, that has nothing in it yet. That's instrument flying. Not instrument flying, attitude instrument flying, meaning how you're using your instruments during VFR flight. We'll try to squeeze that in too. Let's try to do a double whammy next Tuesday. Basic med and then instruments. So that's some new content that can go on the site that'll be brand new, never seen before. Subscribe to YouTube. Keep leaving comments even after we go off air. Want to join up? Coupon code DR15OFF in the coupon box. Thanks everybody. Like, share, leave comments, and we will see you in the next video. Thanks for joining us.
Discover the number one helicopter training system on the web. Welcome to Helicopter Online Ground School. HelicopterGround.com.